Friends, welcome in. Robert Imbrielli here. So good to have you on board. We're now live streaming, and thank you for joining us. An odd hour, not normally the time we do our show, but a special show today. We have an amazing guest I'm going to be spending the next hour with, and we're going to be talking about something that is kind of top of mind for both of us. We're both in the coaching industry, and we've been watching this new technology called AI, and we're going to discuss where it came from and what the future holds for people in the coaching business. My friend Kellen Flueckiger is with me, and he's one person who I look up to as somebody who's like leading the coaching industry, right? There's a lot of people in the coaching industry, millions of coaches out there, but there are very few who really lead. And Kellen is certainly one of those. And we share something in common. We like to look at the trends and what's coming and looking forward. So we're going to jump into that today. It's going to be a very interesting topic. Even if you're not a coach, you're going to enjoy this because, AI is going to impact every single one of us. So without further ado, let me bring on my buddy, Kellen. Kellen, how are you, my friend? Good to see you.
I'm good. And thanks for having me. I appreciate this. We, talked about doing this the other day, and here we are. And I think that's the speed at which we have to do stuff with what's changing.
Yeah, no question. No question. It was a great conversation. You know, we didn't intend to go in that direction. I think in our conversation, we're kind of like, hey, just old friends catching up kind of thing. And then the topic of AI came up, and all of a sudden it's like, we have to know, we have to start digging into this because, you have done different things with AI than I have done. And I want to jump into that. But before we go there, why don't we set the foundation for people who, AI is kind of scary. They're not quite sure about it. They're not sure where to find it, what it does, all that kind of thing. Let's just give them a quick overview, and then we can get into the meat of the topic today.
Okay, well, I'll give my 2 cents worth, and you can certainly add. Here's what I would say with AI. You can think it's a conspiracy. You can think it's alien technology. You can think whatever you want. But my suggestion is dive in. Jump in, play with it, have fun, explore it, because that's the way you're going to decide what it does do, what it doesn't do, what it looks like, and everything else. And at least not yet. It's not going to jump off the screen and eat your lunch. So whether you like, I use ChatGPT a lot. ChatGPT is one of them. Gemini's one. Grok, Perplexity. There's a bunch of different ones. I spend less time trying to get to all of them than exploring what it can do for me. Like, what can I do with this stuff to make my work easier, faster? I'll give you an example. I did I'm going to speak at an event, and I needed to record a broadcast that I'm on for next week. And I knew the topic, and I've talked on it before, and so it's not new to me. And I could have created my own outline, and I could have done that. But instead, in the past, I've uploaded all my books and all the, podcasts with 1,000 episodes, put all that stuff up in there. And so I was able to just say, here's the topic I want to talk on. I have a prepared presentation I need to give for about 50 minutes. So I need you to give me an outline. I need it to be punchy. I need it to cover these things, et cetera, et cetera. And in about 25 seconds, it spit me out an outline out of my books and material and stuff I've taught in my voice, not word for word, but an outline that I could easily speak from and could have created myself, but it would have taken me half an hour. Instead, I had 25 seconds. And so I bought a half an hour and was able to record a killer Prezi in my voice with my words because of that. So that's just one small example.
Wow. Yeah, I think a lot of people have been using it sort of like an enhanced search engine, looking for, answers that maybe, the search engines are not going to bring. You know, if I think about the technology side of it, Kellen, I look at Google and I say Google over the years has done a lot. They've got a lot of data centers close to us. So when we do a Google search, the information comes back really rapidly, right? But it's just really just indexing existing websites. AI takes it to a whole new level. It's literally a quantum leap forward. And you can go in and have, like you said, conversations with it. You can go in and you could say, hey, I'm researching this topic, and it'll go and look at multiple websites. Not only will it just bring back the information, but it understands the information and compiles it and gives you a report at the end that is literally mind-blowing. It really feels like you could do a master's thesis on this thing in 10 minutes.
Well, I don't know 10 minutes, but let me blow your mind. I have the disc deterioration between L5 and S1 on my right side, and between L3 and L4, you know, whatever. It's caused me in the last year and a half or something to start needing a cane sometimes. And so it's pinched nerves and made my leg numb, and I went to the hospital and a bunch of stuff. Doesn't matter. And so I treat it with periodic cortisone shots injected in just the right place on the spine and that kind of stuff. The left hip has started to really bother me, and this is not a whine about somebody getting old and breaking down. That stuff happened. So after now 3 or 4 quarterly cortisone shots, so it's been a year and a half, the doctor and I were talking about getting an MRI. So I did. And day before yesterday, I went and got an MRI so that they could look thoroughly in there and see if there was anything we needed to do different to mitigate the pain or to think about treatment options that might help. That's fine. Yesterday afternoon, I got this 2.5-page long thing of gobbledygook from the MRI people that, you know, you can read and you can understand the words, except the medical terminology and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So my wife put it in ChatGPT and said, tell us what all this means and what to do. In 1 minute, it had analyzed it, translated it completely into English that was easy to understand, told me what to talk to my doctor about, made some suggestions to discuss with my doctor, and completely prepared me to go have a convo instead of having to do 2 or 3 or 4 hours of research, 1 to understand it, 2 to decide what it meant, 3 to figure out what I wanted to do with it. It was all done and given to me in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot on the health stuff too. I've been asking those kind of questions too, and it's unreal. Now, my question, and I think probably a question a lot of people will ask, since it is mostly being trained by what is available on the web, not everything's out there, and you know, some stuff is you know, censored or not available. So I think there's a shortcoming still with AI, and I don't know how we'll get past that. But you know, some doctors are not going to post health information up there that could be helpful for fear of retaliation, right?
There's no question that it's not going to be perfect. However, it has, in a way never before seen, democratized expertise. The internet democratized information. Everything's available. This is now universalizing expertise to a degree, and it's not going to have everybody's expert opinion for the reason you said, retaliation or minority report or whatever. There's going to be stuff that isn't there. And you can go still find that the way you would have found it today. Like, if that's something you have or could find if you wanted to, you can still do that. But anything that you can find, it can find faster, organize, collate, analyze, and give you a couple of, you know, 2 or 3 alternatives. Well, you could do this, you could do that based on these things. Well, it wasn't telling me what to do. It said, well, this is what all this gobbledygook means. And here's a couple of, you know, alternative things. You might consider this or this or this. And there's stuff to talk to your doctor about. Now, if there's some, I didn't do this, but I know if I went in there and said, and I might do it since it's come up, what are alternative and, you know, holistic and other kinds of treatments, although I did talk about acupuncture, that I might resort to or try or consider, it would go work, you know, do all those websites and give me those things. And like anything, anything that's been withheld isn't going to be there, but I wouldn't have access to that anyway unless I knew something or somebody or some way to go get the hidden stuff.
Yeah, it's really good in the medical field right now. I'm really enjoying that. I'm also doing a lot in the technical side of things. So in the past, somebody would call me and say, hey, Rob, I've got a problem with my Windows machine. It's doing this. And, you know, I'd have to use the old noggin to figure out what's going on. But now I could tell them, I could say, you know, if you can go into Grok or you can go into ChatGPT and you could post that information, what you know about what's going on, and it'll give you a series of things to try. You know, I don't know how ChatGPT works because I'm not in there, but in Grok they have something called deep thinking or deep search,
deep search, and then
they have another one called thinking. So I was having some challenge with my streaming software this week, and, you know, there was nothing on their website that would solve the issue that I was running into. So I went into Grok and I said, let's think about this. Here's what's going on. And it came back and it gave me, you know, suggestions of things to look at that weren't even on the manufacturer's website, which was kind of fascinating how it figured that out.
Yeah. You know, it looks at many things. So that's just a sense of it. So my thoughts to any of your listeners that are worried about it, you know, what you share with it personally, like I've elected to share all my books and all my podcasts and everything that I can about me. And the reason is because when I talk to it, I want it to talk to me in my language. I don't want it to come back stilted or weird. I want to recognize it. And I do. And so I have a lot because I have so much stuff out there, maybe 1 million or 2 million words. So it knows Kellen. And when I ask it questions like, who am I? What do you think? And it comes back and it's pretty flippin' good. And so I'm like, okay, we are hip. We are too hip for the room. And so I like that. And I've just made a decision, and this is a choice, not to be worried about it, not to be intimidated, not to see anything negative. And if it turns out to be, you know, that aliens come and take me somewhere because of someday, because of what I should, yeah, I don't care. I'll worry about that later. But I've chosen to take shameless advantage of all the skills and things that it offers. And I've shared with it enough so that, like, even when I ask it about the medical stuff, it remembered that I told it about the cane and the injections and stuff weeks ago.
Wow.
And it came back and it said, yeah, because you're doing this and this, it probably this and here's this. And it remembered everything I'd ever told it about my pains and aches and cane and spine and injections and everything. And all I did is feed it the MRI page.
Wow.
So I'm like, yes.
So this idea of training it, so that's what you've been doing, essentially, is you've been training the ChatGPT. You know, you could get more generic answers, obviously, if you don't do that. But if you do it, you were sharing a story with me the other day about, you know, this idea of coaching, right? And we had talked about it. We got into a really robust conversation about it and said, hey, you know what? There's a point at which AI may replace, you know, coaching. And you may not need as many coaches out there. So tell us a little bit about the, you know, after you trained it and you know, the questions it was bringing back to you and your response to that, because it was quite fascinating.
Well, here's what I know. I don't know this. I know it, but I'm not asking you to know it. I believe that in 18 to 24 months, 90 to 95% of coaches are going to be out of business. Now, that's a scary, bold prediction, and people can get mad at me and tell me all the reasons I'm full of crap, and that's okay. Feel free, and in 24 months, we'll have a convo in the summer of 27, and we'll see. And I'm happy to be wrong, too. But the reason I think so is because it also can read all of the books, training, coaching. It can read everything there is about the three principles and everything there is about, you know, EST or landmark training or all of Steve Chandler's books or Tony Robbins or Maxwell, and all that stuff is available upside down and backwards. And so it has already all of that stuff. And so when I ask it, and I was curious, I posed the thesis. I said, I think that AI is going to be play a major role in here, and maybe as many as 95% of coaches are going to be out of business. And I want to test that with you. And so let's talk about that. And we talked about formulaic coaching. We talked about checklists. We talked about accountability. We talked about, you know, the kinds of things that are parts of many coaching programs. And then I put in a list of coaching approaches that I know that they're named, you know, transformational coaching and landmark and coaching to the human soul, which is ontological coaching. And there's just a bunch of different approaches. I put them all in there, as many as, and I asked for some more. And it gave me three or four more that I hadn't mentioned. And I said, okay, cool. So what I'd like you to do is look at their approaches and what they teach and what they do and how they want you to coach. And I want you to tell me what you do, what you could do, because I'd also read some articles that people are like preferring to talk to a fake therapist than a therapist. Not because they're any smarter, and maybe they are, but because even when you know confidentiality and everything, there's a fear of being judged, and so they prefer talking to a machine. Having said that, the answers and suggestions and things, just like with my back, that they're getting back that are for a therapy, you know, therapeutically, are equal to or better than what you get in a therapist's office. So there's a real robust conversation among shrinks about the place of this tool. That's all it is, a tool, very sophisticated, intelligent tool that never forgets anything, and its ability to analyze in ongoing therapy. And so, You can be afraid of it. You can diss it. You can say, well, it's never going to X and fill in the X. And that may be true. But what I'm seeing is everything that's not excellent in maybe any area of endeavor, but we're talking about counseling and coaching right now, is going to be irrelevant and replaced because it's already up to here. It's not at the 20% competence or 40 or 60 or 80. Its competence is at 90%.
Wow.
And so the thing I'm thinking, and I ask for a comparison table. I ask what you can't do. I said, your code. What can you do in coaching and what can't you do? And I talked to it just bluntly and plain, and so it talks to me the same. And it came back and said, I can write great stuff. And then it said, but I can't bleed. And so it was talking about the truth of presence and real connection. And there's so many coaches that talk about holding space and doing those kinds of things, but it's in name only. Like, I haven't sat in the presence of very many coaches where I felt that presence, like less than one hand in my life. And that's the level of performance that we, as coaches, are called to rise to. Because if it's just language, we're finished. So anyway, I asked for a great big table of comparison of what it did well, what each methodology did well, what chat could or couldn't do well, whether it was strong in any category, what its vulnerability to AI was. And it thought for a while and came back with this beautiful table of analysis, which I studied thoroughly. I mean, I have 40 pages of stuff that I printed out in this analysis. It took me 50 hours over the last weekend. So it wasn't a casual conversation. It was a deep analysis with something that works as fast as that does. And I came back with a terrifying realization that high vulnerability and medium were the norm. There were a couple that were low vulnerability, but the low vulnerability ones, in terms of producing the actual results, because they depend on, you know, where you're talking about somatic coaching, which is only, you know, body focused coaching and things like that. Since it's low vulnerability because, you know, because I'm not a person and I can't do that. But the rating of how much it creates in terms of tangible external results other than feeling good, like if you're trying to coach for a business or income or growth or something, is also not particularly good. And so it brought me back scared, and not really scared, but aware, which drove me to the place that I am now, which is I'm developing what I believe will be the next breakthrough in this whole kind of thing. And I also tested that. So what is this? I'm doing this, this, and this. This is what I'm focused on. You've read all my books already. You know who I am. So tell me, you know, tell me what this works. And so I had it compare it to the other methods and to itself and all that stuff. So I have a whole crap load of research that makes me feel really both confident and clear about the direction I think this is going.
Yeah, I had a conversation with two coaches since we last spoke, and they asked them the similar question. I said, what do you think AI is going to do? Is it going to replace you? And they were both on board, and they said, absolutely. We call it system coaching, where a lot of people will learn coaching. Now, here's a system. Your first coaching call, you're going to ask these five questions, and they never listen for the answer, right? They don't care. And the next coaching call, here are the next five questions you're going to ask. So those guys, gone. I mean, there's no room for that. That's very easy for AI to handle. And one of the things that was both of them had said was that they really believe that AI will fill in the gap between coaching sessions. Like you have an, you know, your weekly or whatever, you get on the call on a Monday, Wednesday, something comes up, you're not getting back with that coach right away. You know, you got to wait till the next Monday. But if you had this tool in between, it would fill in that gap and would give you much more feeling of being, tended to or taken care of in that way.
I agree. And that's why, as a coach myself, I mean, I plan, I live and plan, and people can say whatever they want, to be in that 5%. I live there. I've created that. And the stuff I told Chatty, it affirmed my suspicions. And I realize it's written to be nice. So I got that. But I also think that coaches and people of other professions, but we're just talking about coaching here, and counseling, if you don't use it and encourage and even teach your clients how to use it and how to use those advantages. Like having a coach, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to create an app that is essentially an agent, an AI agent that has all the material that I have. And you know me, I've produced boatloads of stuff. So there's plenty to do that with so that they can have that reinforcement and that place in between. And I'm going to use it intentionally with an app and everything that I've ever done so that they feel more supported, more capable, more heard. And it fills that vacuum exactly as you said. And that's what I would encourage people to do, not just in coaching and counseling, in any profession that's appropriate, and it'll apply in different amounts. But, you know, so give it the program. Dive in. Figure it out. Use it.
So what you're really referring to here is creating a Kellen type of AI. So if somebody wanted to be coached by you, but not in person, through an AI, they'd be able to do that because all of your content would be available to them. And whatever questions that they would ask would almost be like you coming in and delivering that answer. Of course, you know, we talked about this, the feelings part. You know, AI doesn't bleed. It's just code. So it's going to give you, you know, a certain level of confidence, certain level of answers, but it's not the complete system. Not like working with an actual human coach.
Well, the big difference isn't going to be in the language, because if I give it everything I've ever written and said, it's going to have all that. And assuming it's capability. I had a guy on my LA Talk radio show, today's Thursday, night before last, and he's an AI creator and helps businesses create these AI agents as micro employees to do this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good at it. And so the thing that the power isn't in the words. The power is in the space. So it's going to be able to say everything you, me, could say as a coach. Maybe not quite, but let's assume almost. The power isn't going to be in the space. It is going to be, in the words. It's going to be in the space. It's going to be in the energetic construct,
yep.
In the trust, in the thing that it can't do. And I've even said all that stuff to Chatty, and it says, you're right. I can't do that. I can't be that. I can write empathetic words. I can write beautiful stuff. And I did. And it wrote some to me. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. I love it. And it's going to, the transformation is going to be in the space, not in the words.
So in the space, you mean like holding the space for the client, or?
In what isn't said. In the understanding, in the missing pieces.
Yep.
And I don't mean that something's missing. Like, as a coach, you have sat with someone where something has been discussed and said, and then there is silence. And in that silence, magic happens.
Yeah, I always call it the coach listening with a coach's ear. You're listening for what isn't being said. Because there's another story behind the story. You know, they have their story up front and the something that's behind it. So AI is not quite there yet. And, you know, that takes a really trained ear. It takes a long time to get to that point for a lot of folks. And some never quite get that skill down. So I think those coaches, they're not going to find a home going forward. And I think, you know, it's going to be the highly trained people that will. I call them master coaches. You know, someone's been coaching for 20 plus years and they get up to that point where, you know, they've seen every pattern that's possible. You know, somebody comes up with their story, you know exactly what's going on, and you could really guide them in the right direction very quickly. So those coaches will have a home. And, you know, if you combine that, I think, with an AI and say, hey, between our sessions, if you have questions, you'll get some answers here. And then we'll go deeper when we speak. I think that may be what we're looking at in the immediate term. I don't know how it goes 10 years from now, but certainly in the immediate term, that seems to be viable.
That dude that I was talking about, I'd read an article that said that the power of AI was doubling every 3.3 months. And he corrected me. This was on our LA Talk Radio. He said, nah, that's more like every 3 to 5 days. And
wow.
I don't know if he's right or not, but his point was, yeah, way faster than that. And I thought, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. you know, I'm stretching it, predicting 24 months.
Yeah. No, we were at NAB and they were showing some of the AI robots there and how you could speak with them and ask them any kind of question and they would just respond. But yeah, it's the same. ChatGPT is the same idea. It's just they built it into a human-like form is the only difference with a microphone and a speaker. You know, and they give it human movement, so it feels human, but it didn't really. You know what I mean? So I don't know, but I agree with him that the transitions are happening quickly. I mean, if you think about AI, Kellen, where did it come from? Where we went from Google search engine all of a sudden to ChatGPT, and it was like overnight. There's a quantum jump.
It is a quantum jump, and we've been talking about quantum computing and qubits and. You know, that isn't, and I don't think, I certainly don't. I mean, I've read some stuff, but the level of growth, you know, it isn't like 10 times more powerful or 100 times. It's a trillion times more calculations per second. It is an enormous, staggering leap in what's happened. And those things, like, you know, it's like fire or the wheel or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to have that kind of change on it.
Well, if you remember when the internet first came out, you know, in the early 90s, people started to see the World Wide Web came out in 93, and I'd built my first website at that point, and people were scared, literally. They thought all these industries would be wiped out, and, you know, a lot of them were. I had a lot of friends in the printing industry. They were strippers and doing all that stuff manually, and, you know, before they knew it, they were all out of work. They were replaced by computers, right? And it sent shockwaves through the industry. And then you, now you look at this and it's like, again, you have this same fear. I think it's even at a higher level because this is even more powerful than just, oh, well, look, we've got, you know, Photoshop now. We've got, you know, PageMaker or whatever to do the printing stuff. We've got some really powerful tools. And except for manual labor, I think there's a lot of people who are going to find themselves either replaced or needing to use that tool to augment their skill.
Thank you for saying that last piece, because the out-of-work piece doesn't scare me at all. And I don't mean for me. I mean for us as humanity. There's going to be an initial panic, knee-jerk reaction. And there is. And that'll last for, I don't know, a year or two or three or maybe forever for some people. But the invitation, I mean, we invented this crap. So let's say I understand about, you know, the singularity and when we all start, whatever. I'm not talking about that. But we invented this stuff, so if I am now free, as I am, to have a half hour because I didn't create the outline, to help have it help me write the book I'm writing, Coaching and the Rise of AI, to have it help me plan and organize the university curriculum that I'm launching in January 26th, like I'm leaning into this because it helps me do so much more and faster and more effectively than I could before. And I love that. And it's not, for me, it's not about I did more stuff. My goal, as you know, is to reach 300 million people. Well, if I said that and I was 50 years ago or 100 years ago, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go enough places or be enough places. Then I have radio. Then I have television. Then I have the internet. You know, and so each of those tools allows me to do something more impactful and lasting. And my goal this year is to reach 300 million people with the message of purpose, prosperity, and joy, taking sovereign control of your life and a bunch of other stuff that's that stuff. And to not only talk about it, but show them how. That's a nice message and a bunch of nice tools. And I might talk to 10 people, except guess what? I have the internet and I have AI, and I have all these ways now to help people and to reinforce that on a longer term basis, on a more sustained basis with these things. So I'm excited.
Well, that's exactly where I go with it too. It's like you have to recognize that it is a tool and it'll get rid of a lot of the mundane work, a lot of the handholding research that we've had to do manually for so many years. I mean, to think about some of the things, I wrote a book on berberine, the supplement berberine, and I went into AI and started to ask a bunch of questions about it in 10 Ways to Sunday. And then I took all that information, fed it into a different AI system, and I said, compile this into an ebook, and it did. And it spit out a 26-page ebook in like no time. And, you know, I had to go in and fix a few things, but it was done pretty quickly. That saved me probably months of work, to do all that research and compile it and write it. And now there's another AI system that you could put all that in, and it'll format it for you and add photos and lay it out and do all that. This is a really powerful tool. Now, to get scared of it is a challenge, right? Because people will do that. Well, you know what? What if you were to just harness it, use it for what it's meant? It's a tool. Now it frees up all this extra time. Now I could spend that time deciding how I'm going to promote this, who I'm going to send it to, right? How it's going to work in terms of, you know, getting the sales that it needs to get in the back end of it. I can use my mind for that without having to do that other stuff. And then you know what? Next week I can write another ebook. And next week I could write another ebook. And I could just keep building upon this. I could have a whole library in a year, year and a half, which would have taken me 10 years before.
I love it. I agree with you completely. And, you know, back to the coaching piece, the invitation for coaches is to make a, don't bury your head.
Yep.
Understand what's happening. And you got to make a choice. You got to make an evaluation of the coaching methods that you use and see if they're information-based and if they're vulnerable. And be honest, otherwise you're going to shoot yourself in the head.
Right.
Number two, you have to make an evaluation of your own willingness to be, to create with emotional power, space and connection. If you're a person that's uncomfortable with that or you don't think that's necessary, you know, go find another job. Because the truth of this is it's going to be based on rapport. It's going to be based on that skill, the developed skill of listening in this, you call it a coach's ear, and I'm going to make it a little more squishy than that, but this intentional and connected way that lets you feel things, yep. Right? And I, you know, yeah, you can call me woo, I don't care. Yeah, I used to work in electricity industry, and I was as engineer-y as they get. And I'm in outer space, too, so deal with it. But that's the key. And you can pretend it's not, or you can be pissed off in a year when you can't get any clients. Your call. So make a decision. And if you're going to pursue and you love the act of being in the people encouragement business, which is what I call coaching, then you got to figure out who you need to be in order to be in that 5%. And if I'm wrong and it's 7%, oops. So whatever it is, who do you need to be to go there? And are you willing? Just the same question you ask your clients. What do you want? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to do the work to get there? Okay, cool. Who do you need to be to get to that level? What do you need to do right now? And are you willing to do the work?
Yeah. The hardest part for them is, are they willing to do the work? And most often they just want somebody else to fix it for them. They're the wrong client. Right?
They're the wrong client. And if that's you thinking that as a coach, you're the wrong coach.
That's right. got to motivate, got to inspire. And, you know, there's the piece that you mentioned, the woo, the intuitive piece. You know, it's like, for me, it's like, it's always part of what I do. Whatever I do, it doesn't matter if I'm doing news, if I'm doing coaching, if I'm doing, you know, training, teaching, speaking, it's always, always part of it. And I don't know that AI is ever going to get there. You know, we talk about AI being sentient, and a lot of people say, well, it'll never get there. It won't have a soul. It won't bleed. But some people are saying that may not necessarily be always be true. It might end up being having those skills.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend to predict that. I mean, I had the experience 7 years ago of dying and, you know, having some time on the other side and so forth. And so, you know, I'm not going to say that. Say one way or the other about whatever. Where we are right this minute is an existential decision for you, whether or not it gets so good that it actually becomes sentient and we pass the singularity and the, you know, the explosion of stuff and it turns into iRobot and Asimov's novels. I don't know.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to worry about that right now. What I am going to worry about or think about is my own development. The offering, the thing I've been called in the woo sense,
yep.
Is to offer this university, your Ultimate Life Coaching University, starting next year, for the 5%, for those who are or want to be there, or who decide they're willing to do that. So my thing, I was never going to do that. I've been a coach for 15, 16 years and have worked hard on all this stuff and have gotten really good. And I don't mind saying that, and I don't mean to be weird. And people have asked me for a long time, why don't you have a coaching school? And my answer was never, ever. I don't want to, don't like them, et cetera. And then about 6 weeks ago, you're going to do this. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. But if I'm going to do it, it's going to be that, you know, that thing that I've been, you know, that thing to solve this particular problem. So I am now. And I'm all in and I'm committed and I've developed a methodology and so forth. But I've developed it in the context of what I see happening. And the invitation is for those to think about for yourself, what do you want to be? Are you going to be radically excellent? Because the people that live in the land of somewhere between mediocrity and three quarters or and below are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad because they do become replaceable. And I know a lot of people will just get into a career and learn it enough to get to the paycheck and not continue to learn. And I think you and I are kind of examples in the area of what you really should be doing. It's like we never stop learning. I mean, my curiosity is through the roof on any topic that somebody puts in front of me. And I'm always wanting to learn, dig in and find out more and understand it and analyze it. I don't expect everyone to be like that, but this is how we're going to grow and use this as a tool rather than being afraid of it, is we've got to recognize, hey, we've got a new hammer now, right? This hammer does much more than just put a nail in the wall, right? You do so much more. Wow, cool. Now the technology is ahead of our creativity. It's not always been the case. Our creativity has always been way ahead of the technology. Now it's flipped. So technology is far, far ahead of us. For instance, if you're generating images with AI, you have to type in what image you want. You remember the challenge we used to have with the graphic artist trying to explain in words what we're looking for?
Yeah.
And the graphic artist sees things in colors and shapes and contrast and all that kind of stuff. And no, that's not what I want for a logo. Now we've got AI. AI better understands that. So are the graphic artists threatened? Yeah, they feel threatened right now. But they still bring a skill to the table that AI is not going to match.
And you know what's fun? AI doesn't get mad when you tell it was wrong 284 times.
Exactly. So your background is generated with AI, right?
That it was, and it represents part of what I'm writing in this book. The heartbeat before the awakening and the rise of it's called the triple helix coach, which is a model I'm creating.
There you go. I have a big white screen now. You can see it all.
The refiner's fire. Right. So yeah, it was generated and it's not done. Like this language over here shouldn't be there and this shouldn't be there. It's redundant. But I've been playing with it, trying to get it to model, give me some pictures of what I'm trying to teach in the university and teach for those 5%. The other thing that I think that this really gives us, now that the technology is ahead, instead of worrying about it, what if we allowed it to allow us to use, to own and to use the truth of who we are? Like everybody, not everybody, almost everybody all the time feels like, well, if I just had time to this or that, I could. You can. So here is your invitation. To sing the song you came to sing.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. To be that. It's not going to put people out of work. It's going to free us up. It is already freeing us up. This is not some hypothetical thing. I have examples in my life all the time. Joy, my wife, my angel, my business partner, she uses it every day more hours than I do. And she's just fabulous with what she does. And it allows her to create more effectively stuff that's creating our mission for 300 million for this year and next year, who knows, and the things that we're doing. And so I feel liberated. Yeah. I feel space, I feel space in terms of opportunity because I can do in 5 minutes what I did in 2 days. I can do that now. And that doesn't mean I'm bored. That means I have 2 days to do what I wasn't getting to before.
Yep. There's another big thought out there. I want to get your opinion on this too, that people, well, how am I going to make money with this? How am I going to make money with this? And there's a feeling that money is not going to be so much in the front and center as it is right now with us. We're kind of on a treadmill with all of that. But as this starts to grow as a technology, it won't be as hard to make money. There'll be new ways to do that, to use this technology to make the money, where you'll be freed up to do what you really want to do. A lot of people are thinking in terms of, well, what if your work week, instead of it being 40 hours, 9 to 5, it was only 10 hours or 15 hours a week. And then you had all this extra time, you had the same money or better, and yet all this extra time to do the things you always wish you could do. What would life look like for you?
That's something I want people to ask. I know what life would look like for me, and I'll share it in a minute, because it's looking like that. So this isn't wishful thinking. This is, it's truth. But this is something for every one of the people that hear this. Ask yourself that. If you had all the work and money you had, and you got it done in 20 instead of 40 or 60 or 80, if you're not there, let's say that happened. But after you say, I'd sleep for a week and I'd sit on the beach for a year, and after that's all done, all that is accumulated stress.
Yeah.
So after you've satiated the entire accumulated stress account and you realize that you're going to be bored to death if you don't do something, and besides that, the yearning in your heart isn't going to let you do nothing. It's just not true. So what would you pursue? What would you create? Because the whole idea of my thrust, which is your ultimate life, my podcast, and everything else, is about creating a life intentionally, a purpose, prosperity, and joy. So let's pretend that 5 minutes from now, maybe next month, you now are working 20 hours. After you've got rid of the accumulated stress, what would you do? And seriously answering that question, I'll tell you what I am doing with that. I'm exploring writing more books, because I wasn't an author at all until my life changed in 2007. And I've written 20. I'm in the middle of 2 more right now, and I have 4 more on the drawing board. I would spend more time in the recording studio. I am spending more time in the studio doing music, because I love to do that. And those are the creative outlets that I love. And I painted. I did a while I was into acrylic paints, and I painted some stuff and sold a little bit here and there. I'm not particularly wonderful. I might explore that again and more, or other things that are avenues for true expression. I now know, because of my life journey, that my calling is to be in this people encouragement business, to take the blinders off, to tell people the truth about who they are. And they can ignore me if they want. I don't care. It's not going to be offended anymore, because it's not about me. But it's not going to be on my watch that they don't know that. And so I speak everywhere I can. And for me, it isn't about money. Like, my goal to reach 300 million people this year with this message has nothing to do with money. My business plan is, I look for people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. Incidentally, and from that approach, clients come in abundance. So I don't enter any day thinking about either money or clients. And so I'm sharing that, not to say yay me, it's whatever, but this is an embodiment of what the question you just asked, because I don't think about that anymore. And so that's what, at least a microcosm of what it could be like. I mean, it's only 5 minutes old. So, you know, 5 minutes from now, meaning 10 years, I don't know, but I can smell it.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about freeing up time. I was writing some ads. I've been writing ads for many, many years, my marketing background and such. And I was writing ads the other day for a new product that we're going to promote. And I have this AI that basically, all you have to do is put in the URL of the product that you're trying to promote, and it'll go scan it, and it goes back and looks at 20 years of successful ads, uses the frameworks from those ads, and spits out new ads for you. I got 50 ads like that. And they, while they weren't exactly perfect, they were darn close, where I could just change one word or move something up, rather than, no, let's talk about this first, then talk about that. And it freed up so much time, because that would have been, you know, a day, 2 days of effort to do that. And it was done within minutes. And it was some of the best, you know, ad writing that I'd ever done. I didn't do it. You know, it's like, so.
But you did it, because, and that's the thing I want to emphasize too. No, it's not okay to plagiarize. One of the things Simon Sinek talked about when he was talking about AI specifically, it's also going to democratize excellence, and it's going to democratize perfection, if you will. And if we let it do that, we are robbing ourselves of who we become because we did the work. So you're using that tool and then tweaking it and knowing where to put this and that and then having it be excellent. I wouldn't say you didn't do it. I would say you did it. And you used a very effective and powerful tool, well used with your expert eye to move this and that around, and you did do it. And there's a world of difference between that and cheating, which is what somebody in school might do to write a thesis or a paper because they have not become the person that wrote the paper, meaning do the research and all that kind of stuff. And so to me, there's a complete and obviously impassioned distinction between those two and a reason not to be shy about learning it and doing it, using it fully.
Yeah, one thing I've always shared with people too is like, you know, you look at your skill sets, and that's a skill set I've had and I've been using for many years. It always comes into play. No matter what comes up, you're still going to need those skills. You know, I still use my skills as a photographer. My very first career was commercial photographer. People go, well, you're not doing that anymore. Yeah, I always have a camera with me. But those aren't the skills I'm talking about. The skills I'm talking about are the people skills, which make me a great coach. Right? Being able to really understand where a person is and how to communicate with them and calm them down. Remember, sitting in front of a camera is not a comfortable place for 99% of the population. And being able to get them to be calm and get that right smile and get them, you know, all that stuff was all about human communication and connecting with people. And none of that went to waste. I use it all the time.
You do. And so not only you, but anyone that uses AI to enhance the skills that they've developed or to save time, I would encourage it. And I'm not saying, you know, universities and other places are going to have issues with policing. And the problem I have isn't that students use AI. It's that when they use that to substitute for the work, then they have not been educated.
Correct.
They haven't gone through the work of becoming the person that did the critical thinking that allowed them to create a decent paper.
You know, if we look back at our school system, though, our school system really doesn't educate in the way that it really should, right? It doesn't allow for critical thinking. What it does is we're the teacher, we're going to broadcast this information to you. You have to memorize it, and then you'll be tested, and all you have to regurgitate it. Nowhere in there do you get to analyze it.
No. You know?
So if you really want to be, you know, ahead of the game, we're going to add this part back into our education system.
I 100% agree. Yes, critical thinking skills, life skills, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's the stuff that matters. I've been hearing ever since I was a kid. Well, nothing I ever learned in school mattered, you know, that phrase. And there's a lot of that that was true then and is true in spades now. So
yep.
I think AI is a fabulous way to allow your curiosity to blossom and to have access to things that you didn't and couldn't have access to before. So I'm excited about it, and I, you know, shout the warning for coaches in particular, but this warning could be and should be duplicated for other professions. We're just not talking about that right this minute today. But the warning is the same, and it's a different level for each profession based on the mix of skills. But it's a powerful tool. It's a game changer. And I'm still excited about it.
So the message is, if you were just joining us late, I know a few people who just popped on here are listening. The message is embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. Learn it, right? I know people who didn't embrace any computer stuff. And then when gas stations went to, you know, computers where you just put the credit card in and you pay right there, they hated it. They're like, nobody came out and filled up my tank anymore. Now I had to do it all myself. And, you know, there were a lot of resistance to it. But eventually you embrace it and you realize, you know what, it saves a lot of time, no one to get in the way, you get to the gas pump, you get it done really quickly. AI is going to be the same thing. So instead of being fearful of it, I would say embrace it, learn it, so you're not afraid of it. The same applies for guns, by the way. People are so afraid of guns, and it's like if they were trained in them, all of a sudden the fear kind of goes away. I mean,
yeah,
if someone's pointing a gun at you, that's a different story, but, you know, you're not afraid of the actual device.
Remember a few years ago, 20 or so now, maybe, when computers, PCs started to be ubiquitous in businesses. And I remember when, you know, there was one in the department and then two and five. And the idea that there was going to be a PC on every desk was, budget, are you crazy? You know, all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, eventually in a year or two, it happened. And then there was the thing that, especially if you're, you know, in the executive leadership rank, well, I don't do that crap. I don't know how to check email. I don't know. You know, I'm not very techie. And that used to be okay. And then it used to be quaint and funny. And now it's like, what?
You're a dinosaur.
And it's not funny anymore, right? It used to be funny and you kind of thought so and a little quaint and, you know, okay, they're an executive. They get to do that. AI is going to be the same thing and it's going to be faster. If you don't know how to use it, you can hide from it. You can pretend whatever you want. And in about 5 minutes, relatively speaking, it's not going to be funny anymore, right? It's not going to be funny. You're going to be a dinosaur.
Ben in our chat room is saying he had a TRS-80. That's the first computer I had, TRS-80. Tandy Radio Shack is what TRS
Radio Shack,
1980.
TRS-80.
That's when it came out.
yeah. I remember. And Radio Shack itself is like gone, right?
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. I think there's one store still left out there. There's a little old lady runs it, and it's, you know, the whole corporation's gone, obviously. But yeah, she still has it, and it's still branded Radio Shack.
I remember that was where I went all the time for parts.
Hey, get the free battery. Come on, Battery of the Month Club.
Absolutely. I remember carrying that card in my wallet for years.
Yep.
I absolutely did. Well, Robert, this has been really delightful. I'm not sure if there's another branch to talk about right now or not.
Well, there is. You got to let us know how we can follow you. I see KellenFlukagerMedia.com at the top of your head there. That's one place to go. Where would you like people to go if they want to follow you?
So if you actually want to see some stuff, go to KellenFlukagerMedia.com. I have my website, KellenFlukiger.com, my other things, but KellenFlukigerMedia.com is a central hub. You can get to my podcast there, Your Ultimate Life. You can get to my LA Talk radio show there. You can see all the books that I've written, and I've written a boatload, as you know. There's links to the music that I have. I have 90-something songs in commercial release. So anything you really want to know about me or see what it is, talk a little bit about coaching there too. Please use that one. Because I have such a peculiar name, I can't hide. So you can find me. Anybody says they can't find me, either isn't looking or is spelling my name wrong. There's umpteen zillion hits on the internet because of my previous career in electricity and so forth. So please connect with me any way you want. I invite the questions. This is all I do, this work. My goal is to reach 300 million people this year, and I will reach that goal. My year starts October 14th. I look for guests on my shows, people that have a message that want to share, and you can get a hold of me again on the contact form on Kellen Flukiger Media if that interests you. And so I'm about that. My business plan is people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. So thank you for that, and that's plenty. My books are all on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a pleasure being a guest on your radio show as well. And Kellen does an interesting thing with interviews. He doesn't ask the normal questions. Hey, tell me your background. Tell me this, that, and that. He's really insightful and goes deep. So if you really want to, you know, get the meat out of a guest, listen to his talk show. Go to his website and you'll find the links to it there. You'll hear it. There's the replays. I think they have the replays online, right, for the radio show?
They do. LA Talk Radio. If you go to latalkradio.com, and you look up our show, Your Ultimate Life, they've got 2.5 years worth of replays, video and audio. You can download them even. And so you can have those and listen. And I've had some really good guests on there. And sometimes I do them solo and sometimes I have guests. And so, yeah, by all means. And of course, we're almost to 1,000 podcast episodes. So you bet.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, my friend. Before we go, I just want to mention our sponsor real quick. I was going to do this earlier, but it got out of hand a little bit. Our sponsor today is Verity Metals. Matt Geiger and Company. Go to veritymetals.com/renegade if you're thinking about investing in gold and silver. If you just want to buy some coins or you want to transfer your IRA or 401k over to a precious metals backed account, he can help you with that. You can give him a call, 480-717-9081. And Matt, we thank you for all you do to support our show. And we'll be with Matt in Las Vegas on July 4th. So we'll have some time to spend with him there. I think we're going to be at the Trump Hotel is what the plan is for an event. So I'll be broadcasting from there as well. We'll let you know all the good stuff that happens. You know what? We shouldn't, because what happens in Vegas is supposed to stay there, huh?
Robert, I want to thank you for your heart and the effort you put into this. I doing this kind of work is a labor of love, and I appreciate who you are and everything, all the good that you add to the world and the person that you're being, and I couldn't get us off the air without saying that.
I appreciate you. Lots of love to you, Kellen. You've been a big influence in my life, and we'll continue to be friends from here to as far as we make it.
<You know>? All right, buddy. We'll see you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you all soon. Appreciate you.